You know, I go back so many times and I think about all the different things that God has done in my life, and then I look at some of your lives and I see what God has done and how he makes changes in your life, and I still can't get this picture, Ron, out of my head of us going to Brookston, my very first week in Lafayette. And I was going to be a youth pastor, and I go to Brookston. There was an outreach going on. It wasn't mine, but they invited me to go, so I went. And I remember a mom coming up to me, and she said, I want to introduce you to my son who is going to be one of your junior hires. And we couldn't find him anywhere. And we kept looking, and he was hiding behind a wagon, and he kept peeping at me, but he wouldn't come out. And that was Ron, you know? But Ron really... There was a lot of boldness behind him. And so I think of Colleen. Colleen, you don't. I remember you as just a little bitty baby girl, and you were so loving and caring. I don't know what happened, but no, I'm just no. You still are. You still are very loving. And so, but I go back to all these memories and see what God does in our life. He is so faithful. He is so faithful to just reach out and grab us. And get a hold of us and stuff and to care about us. So I'm going to switch, Jeff. I'm going to switch from this to this other one. Get wired up. And who was it? Somebody came to me this morning and said, man, I want you wearing that because it reminds me of Britney Spears. I'm like, oh, that's great. Yeah, don't shave my head and don't go whacked out, okay? Yeah. But anyway, he loves you. He loves you so much, doesn't he? Turn to your neighbor and say, you got to tune in now. Tell him that. You got to tune in. All right. Keith Schumann sent me this. You know, Keith and Priscilla moved to Fort Wayne. And they're up there attending a church up there, and Keith's a good friend of mine, and he sent this to me, and he it says, football finally explained. You know, we had the big Super Bowl and everything, but he said, football finally explained, and it says, football finally makes sense. A guy took his blonde girlfriend to her first football game. They had great seats behind their team's bench. After the game, he asked her how she liked the experience. She said, oh, I really like it, she replied. I enjoyed watching them play. They had great uniforms. They're very muscular. But I couldn't understand why they were all killing each other over 25 cents. Dumbfounded, he asked his date, what do you mean? Well, she said, they flipped a coin. One team got it. And then the rest of the game, they kept screaming. All they kept screaming was, get the quarterback. Get the quarterback. I'm like, hello, it's only 25 cents. Okay. Yeah, I thought that was really cute. Oh. And you know what? To you ladies and even to some men, you may look at that and see those circumstances and think, that really is all there is about football. They flip the coin and they're after that quarter. So anyway. I told you last week that I had a message I really felt like that it was burning within me, but God will not release me to share that yet. And I'm like, Lord, I need to speak that message. He said, no, they're not ready for that yet. So you hang on to that. I'm like, okay. And so today I want to talk about good relationships. Good relationships. And I want to talk about our relationship with Jesus, and I want to talk about our relationships with one another. And the Bible is very clear that our relationship with Christ is like a bride and a groom. It's like a marriage. And so we're going to talk a little bit today about marriage and relationships and how important they are, because I really believe in our society today, marriage is under major attack. I mean, it's under major attack. You know, Shaloy and I are going to celebrate this year our 25th wedding anniversary. I mean, that's an awesome accomplishment in today's society. You know, and some of you have been married 30, 35 years, 40, I think. If Jim and Esther were here, they're down in Florida. They've been married over 60 years. That's a huge thing. But I think about those 25 years, and they have just flown by. I can't believe that. I mean, we've actually been together almost 29 years and then been married. You know, we lived together for 4 years and then the Lord. No, I'm just teasing. No, not really. Some of you are like, where did that come from, you know? No, I'm just teasing you. But 25 years of marriage and to realize that we're still not where we should be today, that we're still growing. We're still sharpening one another, not poking, but just as iron sharpens iron. We're still sanding one another, and there's this growing process in our marriage, and there's still a lot of things in my life that she's praying that God will change. I said a lot of things. There's a few things in her life that I'm praying that God will change, but really the true prayer needs to be, Lord, change me. You know, they say opposites attract. And you find that in a lot of marriages. But studies have proven that opposites do attract, but later on they repel. So if he or she is totally opposite from you and you're dating them right now, you need to realize you better find some common ground. And it better be in the confines of being under the blood of Jesus. Because we all know that there are times in relationships where things get tough. We look at children, having children. I love children. Children are fantastic. And I see them grow. And we were at a couple's house the other night, and they've got a little boy about 3 or 4. And I'm just like, oh, that's a great age. Oh, that's a great age. But you know what? They grow up. They grow up. And as they grow up, as parents, we don't want to dread that. We want to enjoy that. Amen? Because we realize there is a vicious, abrasive world out there that wants to tear down the lives of our children. And so today we want to talk about relationships and how important it is that we encourage and build one another up. The first thing I want to tell you this morning is this, that relationships, good relationships, are built on trust and unconditional love. And we need relationships in the body of Christ. I believe that one of the biggest struggles today is we don't vocalize to one another. We don't communicate how we're feeling, especially if we're struggling. And this happens in marriage all the time. You don't, I'll give you an example. This is a true story. Tom and Jill, this is their names. For about 6 months, she realized that he was working a lot of overtime. They'd been married a while, and he was working a lot of overtime, but she didn't see a dime of that money that he was earning in the checking account. And she just knew that he was having an affair, and he was spending that money on that woman that he was cheating with. And for 6 months, she didn't say a word, but it was just building and just building within her. And then finally, they went to counseling, and she laid it out. My husband is here today because he's been having an affair. He's been saving this money and spending it on this other woman. And the counselor looked at the husband, and the husband was just in shock. And he said, sir, are you having an affair? He said, no, sir. Well, what are you doing with this money? And the husband pulled out a wad of money that he was keeping. He said, I've been saving this for 6 months to take her to a special place on our anniversary that's coming up. And I've just been trying to hold it back and say, communication. Now, you can laugh about that, but that stuff is going on all the time. Because we let the devil speak things into us that they're not there. And the key is we need to communicate. And so the step here is, if we need to communicate in our earthly relationships, do we not need to communicate to our Father in heaven? And the same thing is going on there. Many times I've caught myself thinking, God, you're so big, you're so busy, who am I? So I'm not going to bring it to you. I'll just keep it inside and deal with it. And you know what? I do, and then what happens? I get frustrated. and I get angry and somebody gets it, eventually I let it out toward God. Like, hello up there, do you care about me? And God's like, of course I care about you. Of course I love you. But you won't communicate. You won't talk about it. You know, I'm at a stage in my life that as I read through the Bible, I'm marking things and I have questions to God. I have questions. I just came through Revelation. And there's a 1,000-year millennial reign that after we've been raptured and after the tribulation, that there are people that are still living on the earth that have accepted the Lord. And there's going to be 1,000 years where they go and we're going to be set over them to help God rule and reign over them. And the devil during this time has been locked up, chained up in Hades, and he's not going to be able to get out for 1,000 years. And then it says, right before the great white throne judgment, God is going to let the devil out, and people that have been going, that have been living those thousand years are going to be, he's going to tempt them to see if they're really going to stay with the Lord, and some won't. And I'm like, this is me. Why? Why are you doing that? He's bad, dude. He's bad. Don't let him out of that. Just put him in the lake of fire. Okay, now that's just me. I'm questioning things, wondering about things. I know you never do that. But it's okay to do that because I'm hungry about it. I want to learn about it. Some of this stuff does not make sense to me. It probably won't make sense to me till I get to heaven. But I just look at those things and I think, Lord, what's going on? But I also know that if I don't vocalize that to God and talk to him about it, the devil could use that as a wedge in my life. So we have to be real careful. So we want to talk a little bit about that. Look at your outline today, Matthew 21, verse 22. Matthew 21, verse 22. Read that with me. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. Wow. We better say that one more time together. And whatever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. It's amazing. It's amazing. If we ask in prayer, Brian prayed for something this week and God answered his prayer as he was sliding down the roof. And he caught the pipe. And he was up there for 45 minutes to an hour and nobody could come and help him. But he said, as I was sliding down, I cried out, God, I need your help. And he was able to grab that pipe and straddle it. Thank you, Lord. And he finally got off his roof because he prayed that the sun would come out and start melting that snow, and it did, and he was able to crawl back up. God cares about everything. We have not because we ask not, the Bible says. I have been with some great, great godly men, and the greatest thing anybody in the body of Christ has ever taught me is this: pray about everything. Nothing is too small for God. Nothing. I want my kids to pray about everything. My son was asking me some questions the other day, and I said, Jared, just take it to the Lord and ask him. You see, I don't want my children always dependent upon me. Because someday I'm going to be gone. I want them to go to God and learn to go to God. My mom was great about instilling that in my life. Good relationships mean we communicate with one another and with God. A good relationship with God is to mirror a good marriage relationship. A good relationship with God is to mirror a good marriage relationship. And in the body of Christ, we need to practice the love of God in our homes, in our church. Time and time again, I hear about what the church in America needs to do. I've heard different speakers all week this week, just on and off as I've gone through the TV channels, Christian speakers, and one saying, this is what you need, and another one saying, this is what you need in your service. And another one saying, this is what you need. And the Lord is speaking to me, Owen, it's not in the service. It's in your individual life. And if you get it with me, Owen, then your family's going to get it. And then the church is going to get it. And then the community's going to get it. But we're great in this country of putting the responsibility on someone or something else. When Jesus is saying, it really rests with you. We have to communicate with God, and we have to communicate in relationships. About a year ago, I was out at the Carpenter's Son, and they had some things hanging there in a little rack, and it says 100 things you need to know before dating and marriage. And I thought, well, man, I'll get that. And I opened it up here, and there are 100 questions that you need to ask your future spouse or while you're dating them. Where does he or she go to school? Where do they work? Do they have similar backgrounds to yours? How was she raised or he raised? How long have they attended church? Are their parents alive, married, widowed, divorced? Just all kinds of questions here. Is this person nosy, gossipy, unable to keep a secret? Are you proud to be seen with this person when you're around people that you respect? Has this person filed for bankruptcy? Are they in great debt? What do they do with their free time? What are their hobbies? What's their taste in music, clothing? Is it acceptable to you? I'm thinking, well, that's nice. Those are good things to ask and, you know, take them through the interviewing process. But my heart is, I want to know their heart. Because we all know when we first meet each other, we can put on a great front. I mean, Josh could meet me and Josh could just think, I have it so together. Because I just put on this great front. And especially when you're in a dating situation or whatever. And how many of you know when you really start looking to God, you're like, God, now some of us come this way, you want me, don't you? You really want me. God needs me in his kingdom. Well, that's not going to work with God. But we have some people think, well, I come to church because God needs me. No, 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 no. When I understand who I am and what Jesus has done for me, I understand I come because I need him and what he's done for me, and I need all that he can do so that I can go forth and make a difference in this life. Good relationships. Good relationships. If you claim to know and serve Christ at church, yet you do not display godly characteristics in your relationships, you're a fraud, you're a hypocrite, then you probably really aren't serving God. Revelation 22:11 says, he who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. Be who you are. I want to be righteous. I want to go after God. I want to grow in that process. It's so important that we do that in our lives, that we learn to grow. There's a statement there that makes a statement about marriage that if you claim to know Jesus and you're serving him in the church and you've got everybody fooled because of the facade that you're wearing, this mask that you have on, but at home you are evil. You treat your wife like dirt. You're very corrupt. You treat your children like dirt. You know what? Truly, in the long run, you're going to be evil toward God. Because if you can't live it at home, there's no way you can live it at church. I'm not telling you have to be perfect at home, but what I am saying is you need to step up to the plate and communicate with God and become the woman of God and the man of God that he's called you to be in that house. Ephesians 5:21, we'll get there in a little bit. It talks about mutual submission. Mutual submission. You even say the word submission and it just gets people upset. I don't understand why. They don't like that word. Let's even get it, let's bring it home a little bit. Submit. They can't stand that word. Men or women. I think it's that sinful nature in us that doesn't want us to submit. And you get in a marriage and you need to learn to submit to one another. It's a give-take relationship, but we don't want to do that today. I mean, you've met the man or you've met the woman. One of the two of them wear the pants in the family, and this is the way it's going to be no matter what. I rule and reign. You wash my clothes. You feed me. You take care of my physical needs. And if anything changes, I'll let you know. That is not God. That reminds me of a lot of my relatives from the South. They try to keep people down, keep their thumb on them. That is not how Jesus works. So we're going to look at that today and understand, what does God want in good relationships? Number one, he wants us to be selflessness. He doesn't want us to be selfish. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me. If we're really going to be all that Christ has called us to be in relationships with him and with others, then we've got to let ourselves be set aside. Do you know how hard that is every day? Folks, that is a daily grind. I've got to crucify the old flesh and Owen every day because it will rise its ugly head. And you do too. But I want to tell you something. If we can't do it in our homes, how are we going to do it in the body of Christ? If all you do is sit and complain about what she's not doing and how she's not meeting your needs or what he's not doing and how he's not me or what your parents are not doing and how they're not or what your children are not doing and they never meet your expectation, there's no way God's going to meet your expectation. Because it comes to dying to self. That's what we have to do, and it's very hard. Marriage is selfless. It's self-denial. It's what God requires of us. Selfish people won't be successful in marriage. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive. But I think that when you're 18 or 19 and you're going to get married and you're wooed and they're wooed and you're in puppy love and they're in puppy love or you're in heat and they're in heat, okay? However you want to describe it, bottom line is, it's about you. She's going to meet my need. He's going to meet my need. Oh, are you in for a surprise? Because if you go in and it's all about you, you're going to be tasting reality. And it's not going to be what you thought it could be. You see, when we come to Christ, he wants us to die. And so if I come to Jesus and I say, well, here's the thing, Lord. Big guy, I'm for you. They say you own a cattle on 1,000 hills. A few of those hills and a few thousand heads will look good in my barn. You know, and all of a sudden, I'm coming to Jesus, but am I really coming to him dead? No, I'm coming because what is it all he's going to do for me? Now, don't get me wrong. Jesus wants to do things for you, but we have to die to self. And that's not easy. Amen? Because Jesus may say, okay, I want you to come to me, but you've got to give up that relationship. Oh, but he is such a good man. Yeah, but you're living with him. you're living with him and he doesn't want anything to do with Jesus, then you know what? If you're going to die to self, when Jesus comes into your life, Jesus wants all of you. And you got to be able to look at that person and say, man, I've just sold out radically to Jesus, and it's all about him. Now, if you want to sell out to him, that's great. Then we got to do the right thing. We got to get married. We got to serve the Lord. I know of a guy that gave his life to the Lord, and he owned a bar. Well, is there anything going on? Well, he saw people get drunk all the time. He was helping to promote, and he knew once he gave his life to the Lord, he said, man, I'm out of this business. I cannot glorify God and run this bar. So he got out of that. I thought that was awesome because the Lord had spoke to him that he needed to make a change. Because I want to tell you something. You don't give up anything in the world that God doesn't pour back into your life in greater measures, in different ways that you're like, man, what a fulfillment. What a peace. When you get that peace that surpasses all understanding, you're like, I don't care what the world has. Man, I can't go back because this is good. But dying to self is a daily thing. I know a young couple that got married and dated about a year and a half, got married, and he was just head over heels in love with her. She's a beautiful young lady, and I mean, his dream girl. And both of them believers. But what he didn't know about her was she had an addiction. Her addiction was credit cards. He knew she had some debt, so she wanted to start a business after they get married, and within that first 6 months, they started the business, and within 3 weeks, the business closed. In their credit cards, there was a total of $40,000 they were in debt. Been married less than 6 months. Now, that doesn't include the house they bought, the vehicle they bought. I'm telling you, if you're going to enter into a relationship, you've got to die to self. But for her, it was all about her. Now, things have changed. They've moved in with parents. They're renting the home out. They're trying to pay off debt. But my point being this, you have to be careful. And you need to know and communicate with one another. Because I want to tell you something. Well, I just love her so much, so whatever she wants to do, or I love him so much, whatever. No, 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 no. That does not negate God's word and following his godly principles. So when we come to Christ, we need to be selfless and say, it's no longer about me. And I want to tell you something. I know how hard that is because we struggle with that daily. When Shiloh and I first got married, it was very hard for me to be selfless. I was going to Purdue. I was working a job. She was working full time. I was in softball. I was always at Sears playing basketball. I was always at the co-rec playing basketball. And I got to looking at that, and I thought, this is a great life. I've got my Jesus. I've got a little money. I get to go do all my sports, and I got my woman to meet my need. And all of a sudden, she said, the hammer's coming down. Some things got to change around here. And I'm like, what do you mean? You ain't running with them friends like you run all the time. I remember my friends coming to me saying, you're not the same guy anymore. We don't see you anymore. That girl came into your life and just took us right out of your life. And I looked at them and I smiled, yes, she did. But I had to evaluate because I kept praying, Lord, what's wrong with her? Change her. Oh, I'm dead. Now, you guys can laugh about that, but that's how we are in our selfishness. I prayed before God, God, change her. Lord, she's just thinking about herself. She doesn't see what a guy, I prayed, she doesn't see what a godly man I am. And finally, God spoke to me after I prayed that a year and things were not getting any better in our relationship. He said, Owen, Shiloh is not the problem. You are. It's all about you. It's all about you, son. And I'm like, oh, my. So God, oh, forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to change. I want your priorities. And he said, go apologize to your wife. Oh, my. Lord, do you know what that's going to do? Go apologize to her. God, have you seen? She'll gloat over this. Oh, my. But I did. And you know what? When I changed, she changed. I didn't expect it, but it just happened. Because I decided it was no longer about me. So you're like, well, if I get vulnerable and I become submissive and I give Jesus all of me, you'll be amazed at what changes around you. If I give Jesus all of me, you'll be amazed at what changes in your marriage, what changes in your children. It can happen, but it starts with lining up with God. Second thing, servanthood. There was a story about a young couple. It was written years ago. The author's name was O. Henry. It's not the Henry you think it is. It's not the candy bar. He wrote a story about a young married couple that were very much in love, but they didn't have much money. The gal's hair was very long. They weren't very wealthy at all. As a matter of fact, they were pretty poor. He had received a gold watch from his father as an inheritance. She had her long hair. They didn't know what they were going to do, but they loved each other so much, and they wanted to do something special for one another for Christmas. So she cut her hair and sold it to buy him a gold chain for that watch. But what she didn't know was he pawned the gold watch to buy her a beautiful comb for her hair. And then when Christmas came, they gave each other that. Now that's what real love is about. It's about sacrificing something that's very special to you. And I want to tell you something. Jesus came and he gave his life for us. He laid it all down. And he's saying, if you'll come to me, all things are possible. But you got to die to self first. Number two. First of all, we need to be selflessness. We need to have selflessness. And second of all, we need to have servanthood. Servanthood. John 13, 14 and 15. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Has anybody ever washed, and I'm not talking about your children or your spouses, have you ever washed, because of Christ's example, somebody else's feet? Let me see your hand. Some of it you have. The church I grew up in, we had a watch night service, New Year's Eve, and the ladies stayed upstairs and the men went downstairs, and I was just a kid, and they had all these pails of water, and we had a foot washing service. Bring it back. And I remember, you were sitting there, they just told you to sit down in a chair, and there was chairs there, and you'd sit down there, and you didn't know this was going to go on, and all of a sudden they said, that person sitting across from you, we're going to have you wash their feet. And some of those men's feet, oh my. And the ladies, a lot of them, you know, they were wearing their nylons and stuff, and so they just dipped their nylons right in the pail. And I remember me and my buddy looking at one another thinking, can you trade? Can you move over? I got this guy, and I'm telling you, my buddy was telling me, his feet are bad, dude. And I'm looking over at his feet, and I'm thinking, woo! Thank you, Jesus! But here is Jesus humbling himself, being a servant, because that truly is a very submissive statement to make. And there's a lot of service in it. You really are being a servant to wash somebody's feet. But I want to tell you something. God's asking you and I to be servants in our home. You hear me kid about massaging my kids' feet or my wife's feet, but they all know I am the best foot massager in the house. Even if those feet have been in vinyl all day and they stinketh. You know, but I want them to know how much I love them. But we need to serve one another in the homes, amen? And love one another, being an example. And as we do that, again, it affects the body. Here's the thing. Somebody comes in. I love this. They come to you and they're like, I want you to pray for me. They come to you, Tanya, and they say, Tanya, I need you to pray for me because here's what's going on. Oh, we don't even have groceries this week, and I don't know what to do, but just you and George, just pray for us, okay? Keep us in your prayers. You're like, okay, we're going to pray for you. Well, I believe God brought that need to George and Tanya so that George and Tanya could go out that week, buy them groceries, and take care of them. But the body of the Christ, we don't want to serve. We're like, okay, well, let me think. Lito's very wealthy. Hang on a second, brother. Brother Lito, come here. Hallelujah. Tell him your need, man. He's got money. Praise God. He'll take care of you. Have a good day. All right. This is what we do. Instead of when God brings it to us, he wants us to meet the need. He wants us to. And when it's your family, the scripture is very clear as far as family. You take care of family before anybody else does. He nailed the Pharisees for taking money that was for their parents for retirement to take care of them. He nailed them because they were giving it away to make everybody think. And Jesus looks at them and he says, that is wrong. Servanthood. Some of the worst marriages are where that both spouses want to lead the family instead of serve, and there was World War III going on in that home. We put conditions on one another. All right, I'm going to serve you, but let me tell you what you're going to do in order to get my service. That's not God. And we can laugh about that, but that goes on in homes everywhere. There is not a spouse alive that can force you not to live for God. Amen? And to go against God's word. Amen? Because God's word supersedes that union. We're to obey him. He's to be first in our lives. So let's get that straight. But there are other things that we are doing to one another that God's saying, we need to line up and serve one another. Because, folks, the reason I'm talking about this is the devil is destroying the family today. We've got Willie being married 10 years to Wilma, and Willie's thinking that all these chicks out there look so much better because he's put her through 5 children. And he's thinking, how come you don't look like her? Well, I got 5 kids. And we're basing so much on the exterior that we forgot what God has done. I'm telling you, we need to learn to love one another unconditionally. The grass is not greener on the other side. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. You got to mow it. You got to fertilize it. You better stay where you've been planted so that God can change you from the inside out. Number 3, sacrifice. Matthew 16:24 again. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. We've got to learn that not only do we have to be selflessness, have that in our lives, and be a servant, but we also have to sacrifice. When you get into a marriage, I want you to understand right up front, there is going to be sacrifice. When you come to know Jesus, it's a given. There will be sex. There are things you have to die to. Well, you're painting a very bleak picture of Christian. No, I'm not. I'm painting reality because the good far outweighs the bad. But you have to sacrifice. Sometimes in a relationship, you have to carry a cross. Amen? We got to pick up our cross, and we got to follow Christ with our cross, whatever that may be. In a marriage, there are some things you got to pick up and you got to carry because it's no longer about you. We need to treat each other with grace and humility. Older men, when you see a young man out of line with his wife or his children, you need to lovingly help him and correct him. Older ladies, when you see a young lady that's out of line with her spouse and her children, you need to lovingly correct them. They need your help. Why do you think grandparents are so good? They've been down the road. They've got a little more patience. They've got a little more love. I talked to somebody the other day, and they're like, I'm telling you, it's my house. This is the way it's going to be, and if that's the way it's going to be, it's going to be. And I said, well, then you're in for a mess. Because it ain't about you. There's a book out. It's called The Five Languages of Love. You need to get that book in your marriage for your children, and you need to learn what your love language is so you can allow your spouse to speak that language and allow you to speak their language. I'm requiring that in my premarital counseling now because I'm thinking they need to know that. Michael, what is your love language? Tammy can probably tell me real quick. What's his love language? Time. Several. Yeah, and you can have more than one, but I mean, there's usually one that stands out there. But time. I told you this time. Adams is touch. So Katrina slaps him all the time. Not really. But, you know, when you understand what the love language is and you're trying to do this, but that's not their love language and you're frustrated because it may be your love language because a lot of times we do our love language. And you're frustrated because, like, hello. Find out what theirs is and speak that language to them by your actions and your deeds. I don't care if you've been married 40 years. You need to find it out. My wife loves. She loves acts of service. Man, I vacuum that house, and it's like, her heart just does this when I vacuum the house. I love him. I love him. I love him. Yeah, she's Twitter-pated. Just like on Bambi. She's Twitter-pated. It's the truth. If that sink and all that counter is cleared off when she walks in, she's like, who did it? Who did it? Who did it? Whoever does, Kayla or whatever. Oh, I love you so much! Because that's part of her language, but it means something. My love language is all five, so I want her to do all five for me. And I'll tell you. But it's important. You get that book and you find out what it is. Look at number four, loyalty. Loyalty. Matthew 28:20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know what we need in our marriages? You know what we need in our relationship with God? We need, I will never, 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 never leave this marriage. You will never, ever, ever get away from being my son, my daughter, my parent. And with Jesus, he's saying, I will never, never, never leave you. He will never leave you. And when you understand that loyalty from him, we need that loyalty with one another. Yeah, but I don't like. Well, then you need to go into a fasting and praying mode. You need to really, because right now in America, we've made it so easy to walk away from God, to walk away from church, but even in a bigger way, to walk away from the family. I don't like your rules, Mom and Dad. I don't like how you do things around here, so I'm out of this house. I'm going to go be a prodigal. Or I'm going to leave this marriage because you're not meeting my expectations. Whatever happened to, for better, for worse, for sickness and health, till death do part us. That was a covenant before God. Loyalty in a marriage. We shouldn't be saying things like, I wish I hadn't married you. I'm going to leave you. You're worthless. You're a loser. It's a sin to leave your family. Malachi 2:16 says God hates divorce. Jesus said he would never leave us or forsake us. If you are loyal to your spouse, you know what? You're going to be loyal to God. Yeah, but you don't understand what I'm going through. You're right, I don't. But you know what? Jesus does. He knows what it's like to be trampled upon, to be put down, to be rejected, to have physical abuse. Jesus knows what it's like to go through all of that, but yet he still persisted to do the will of the Father. Because he knew that many of those that were doing this to him would turn around and follow him. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you've been down the road of divorce. I'm not here to bang on you. You've got painful scars. You've seen the scars that it's put in your children. You know why God hates divorce. Because divorce never ends, folks. Every other holiday, every other summer, every graduation, birthday, all this stuff, there's a constant reminder. But you see, God knows your heart. And if you've walked through it, hear me. God wants you to help others not to have to walk through it. He wants you to help others not to have to walk through it because you've been down that road and you know how painful it is. And hear me, there's always two sides to a story. You know, when you get one and it's constantly being poured into your ear, there's always another side. Ephesians 5:33. Men, each of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Number five is submission. Submission. You know what submission really is? It's dying to self, but it's communicating. God expects us to submit to him. Ephesians chapter 4 and chapter 5 are all about the walk. When you read those two chapters, they're all about our walk with God. Submit to one another in the fear of God. 1 Peter 3:7. We are to submit to one another, husbands and wives. If it's not a heaven or hell issue, would you please stop making it a heaven or hell issue? Hello? Well, he constantly puts his fingernail clippings on the carpet. And I'm going to leave this marriage if he doesn't stop. Oh, please. You got to get a life. Okay, hear me out. Yes, I know. I understand you don't want them on the carpet, but don't make it a heaven or hell issue in your home. They will not keep their rooms clean. It's driving me nuts. You know what? You're going to go nuts over clean rooms because you're speaking that. Don't make it a heaven or hell issue because someday when they're out of that house, you're going to be going, if they were only back. Somebody's like, no, I'm not. You don't know. Don't make it a heaven or hell issue. There are heaven and hell issues, especially with our teenagers. Sometimes we make it so hard. Whether it's a dance or whatever, You have to know who they are. You have to know if they're a follower or a leader, and then you make your decision based on that. Not all kids are going to make straight A's, amen? Not all parents are going to make straight A's, amen? Not all pastors are going to make straight A's, amen? Amen. Oh, I knew there'd be a good amen there. When I first, Shaloy and I moved to Arkansas after being married a year, I wanted a Firebird, Paula. I wanted it bad. We were making good money. We could afford a new car. So we went and I picked out this cool looking brand new Firebird. 1983 or 84 Firebird. And I'm like, I come driving it. She's like, we're not getting that. I said, baby, this is your car. I got a truck. This is your car. I don't want that car. So I take her, and we drive a new Fiero. Remember when the Fiero was real hot? And we're going down the road in the Fiero, and it's like being in a little tank. And my eye turned, and it slid sideways. I'm like, oh, this is the car. She goes, I don't want this car. I said, what stinking car do you want? So we go back to the lot. And we get a brand new Buick Regal Limited. It was nice. I enjoyed that car. But Shaloy loved that car. That was a great car. I wanted to make that Firebird a heaven or hell issue. But I knew I couldn't. So to this day, I've never had a Firebird. Because it don't matter. But it did when I was young. But it really wasn't that big a deal. Hello? Do you hear what I'm saying? Could have been a Mustang. Okay, look at the last two. Forgiveness. In relationships, we need loyalty. We need submission. We need forgiveness. Scripture is very clear. If you bring your offering to the altar, but you have unforgiveness toward a brother, or they have it toward you, leave your offering there and go make it right. Now, there are some people that are never going to accept you. They're never going to receive your apology or whatever, but you can do your part. Amen? We've got families. You expect the church to do something, but you can't forgive somebody in your family. We've got kids that won't forgive parents. We've got parents that won't forgive children. And then we've got spouses that won't forgive one another. Well, I remember in relationships, I remember 20 years ago when I dated Solomon and he hurt me. I don't know where that jerk's at today, but I hope he's got the vengeance of God upon him. Now, come on. 20 years ago was some good old boy down the road. You need to let that go and die. Because if you live in your past, you won't have a present, and there's no hope for a future. You laugh about that, but there are people that will not forgive. And I want to tell you something. God cannot forgive you. I'm telling you, this is why we've got people that are sick. This is why we've got people that don't get prayers answered, because there is unforgiveness, bitterness rooted deep within them. And God's saying, we got to get this out of you. And then the last one's giving. Luke 6:38, give and it will be given to you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Every married couple, every family, what you give to your children, what you give to your spouse, what you pour into God's kingdom, he's saying, I'm going to pour it back. You cannot outgive God, and you can't outgive in your marriage. I'm not up here telling you that Shaloy and I have it together, because we don't. I mean, look what she's got to live with, folks. Come on. And there's a daily battle going on in my life, in her life, because we're in this process called sanctification. But I want to tell you something. As long as I'm trying to stay in line with God's word and staying communicating with God and communicating with her and communicating with my children, I'm telling you, you're going to see good fruits coming out of our lives. We may have a time where things are dark and there's a battle going on, but because we know who our source is and we know who to get a hold of, and his name is Jesus, she's not thinking that I'm out there doing something. I'm not thinking she's out there doing something. I'm not worried about my kids out there doing, because I know they love the Lord. It's serving God at home. You go home and you treat your spouse and your children like Christ wants, like Christ is treating you and like you want to be treated by him. Stand with me this morning. The worship team wants to come up here. I just want you to bow your heads. I had to fly through this morning, but I want you to hear. God wants us. It's a simple message about good relationships, but it all starts with us denying ourselves and coming to Jesus. There's no greater peace and there's no greater joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And when I know that he and I are communicating and I am walking with him, no matter what's going on around me, no matter if I feel down that day or whatever, if I've got the joy of the Lord and I believe his word and I'm applying his word to my life, I know he is my source and things are going to be all right. You're here this morning and you say, you know what, Owen? I want a good relationship in my family. I want a good relationship maybe in my marriage or with others. Maybe it's at work. Maybe it's at church. But the first step this morning is I need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I need to make Jesus my Lord, my Savior. Because the Bible says if we don't make him, there's a place called hell that we're going to go that was never meant for us, a place of eternal damnation, a place where the worm never dies. You're here this morning and you say, you know what? I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. That's the first step. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Christians are praying right now. I need to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. If that's you this morning, would you just lift your hand up and say, I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior. I don't want to miss your hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? I want to make Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You can put those hands down. Anybody else? You're here this morning. Christians are praying. I want Jesus to be Lord of my life. Anybody else? Today's your day. Today's your day. You need to make that decision. You're here this morning and you say, Owen, I need to be able to ask God for whatever in prayer, believing that he will give it to me, but it starts with me lining up with him, dying to self, and then moving into my home. And there are changes that need to take place either in me or in my home. If that's you this morning, would you just slip your hand up and take it back down and say, I need to make that. I'm saying, God, I want that change. Just take it up and put it back down. I want that change. Take it up and put it back down. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. Anybody else? Lord Jesus, we need to be selfless this morning. Servants who sacrifice, who give, who forgive, who display loyalty, God. That's what we need flowing out of our lives. Help us do that. You raise your hand and you want Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Would you come up here and stand this morning? There were a couple of hands. Don't wait on anybody else. You lift up your hand and say, I want Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's the greatest thing you can ever do. Would you step out and just say, I'm going to come up here. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but if you'll make this step, God will do something in your life. Christians are praying. That's right. Come on up here, girl. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just need another gal here. Judy, would you come over here to pray? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Beyond the open door. Come on up here, Reed. That's right. God's kingdom's big enough for a little boy that wants Jesus in his life. Anybody else? Anybody else? You know what, church? No matter what we do in life, the greatest thing we can ever do is allow people to come to know Jesus. It's the greatest thing that can ever take place. Sometimes we Christians get so consumed with ourselves that we forget this is why we're here, is to share the good news that Jesus loves you and has a purpose and a plan for your life and wants to make a difference. I need somebody to pray with this little man right here, and I need somebody to pray with this sister because she lifted her hand to rededicate. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want you guys standing here, and I want everybody that's standing, I want you all to say this prayer with me. And as you say this prayer, you're going to accept Christ as your Savior because He loves you so much. Say, Jesus, I come to You in need of a Savior. I've tried it my way, and it doesn't work. I believe You're the Son of God, and You made a way for me. Bigger things, good things, are in store for me. Take me, change me. I accept You. Forgive me of all my sin. Every last one. And you know what God's saying to you right now? Because you've asked Him to forgive you of your sins. The scripture says, as far as the east is from the west, He's wiping them away right now. They are no longer remembered in heaven. It'll never be brought up again. It's under the blood of Jesus. It will never be brought up again. The devil will try to remind you of what you've done, but it's gone. It's gone. I'm a new creation. Say that. In Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Now, Lord, I pray for these right here. I pray, God, that You solidify that commitment they've made to You today. God, that You allow them to go deeper in You. Give them a hunger for the Word of God. Give them a hunger to fellowship with Christians. And God, let Your joy overflow out of them so that they can see, God, great things are in store. And we pray a blessing upon them and a hedge of protection around them. God, the enemy's going to come and try to defeat them. But God, they have been made more than conquerors because of who You are. And we thank You, Jesus. And we ask it in Your name. Amen. Judy, would you take them back there? Would you take them and just, I want you to fill out a card. I'm just go right back there just for 5 minutes. They're going to go with you. Go right back there. Just follow Judy. Becky, right there. Go right back. Let's give the Lord praise. We thank You, Jesus. Now, just real quick, I want to pray for you. You lifted your hand this morning. And you know God's trying to do something in your home. Maybe you're at a point and it's just pure desperation. God, this is it. You've been talking to Him all week. God, You've got to make the change or I'm done. I'm telling you, if you get to the point of desperation, Jesus can and will come through. But you've got to be saying, Lord, I got to die first. Spiritually to myself, I've got to die so that You can rise up within me and give me an overwhelming love for those in my family, for those relationships where I've been hurt, whether it be at work, whether it be extended family, whether it be in the body of Christ. I want to pray with you right now. Jesus, I pray for every hand that went up. I pray, God, that they will solidify themselves. Lord, if they need to ask for forgiveness, let them do that right now. God, if there's been things in their life that have risen up and they've been all about themselves, right now, Jesus, we say, forgive us, God, for being about us. Forgive me, Jesus, for being about me. God, I'm saying to You this morning, I want to die to self so that I may live in You and be all that You want me to be, because all things are possible to those who walk and believe in You. Now I'm asking You, God, to make the changes in me and in these relationships to where we can be a living witness to those around us, so that our homes can be changed. My life can be changed first, then my home, and then my church, then my community. I pray, God, today You make those changes. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good week in the Lord. Don't forget to be here next week. God bless you.